Welcome back to our Praying with Scripture. Let's get right into it. Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will proclaim your praise. Happy Sunday, by the way. Today, if you hear the voice of the Lord, harden not your hearts. Cry out with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him, singing for joy. Today, if you hear the voice of the Lord, harden not your heart. Know that he, the Lord, is God. He made us. We belong to him. We are his people, the sheep of his flock. Today, if you hear the voice of the Lord, harden not your hearts. Go within his gates, giving thanks. Enter his courts with songs of praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name. Come, let us worship Christ the Lord, who for our sake endured temptation and suffering as one possibility. Or today, if you hear the voice of the Lord, harden not your hearts. Indeed, how good is the Lord, eternal his merciful love. He is faithful from age to age. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Today, if you hear the voice of the Lord, harden not your hearts. We're beginning with the office of readings. So the antiphon is, Lord our God, in splendor and majesty you are clothed, wrapped in light as in a robe. That was chosen because this whole Sunday's readings are all about Jesus being transfigured in glory, showing his resurrection and his divinity in this vision to the apostles, strengthening them. Psalm 104 is our next prayer, hymn to God the Creator, and it is beautiful. To be in Christ means being a completely new creature. Everything of the old is gone, now everything is made new. 2 Corinthians 5:17 is our verse. Help us understand that and pray it. Bless the Lord, my soul, my God, how great you are, clothed in majesty and glory, wrapped in light as in a robe. You stretch out the heavens like a tent. Above the range you build your dwelling. You made the clouds your chariot and walk on the wings of the wind. You made the winds your messengers and flashing fire your servants. You founded the earth on its base to stand firm from age to age. You wrapped it with the ocean like a cloak. The waters stood higher than the mountains. At your threat, they took to flight. At the voice of your thunder, they fled. They rose over the mountains and flowed down to the place which you had appointed. You set limits they might not pass, lest they return to cover the earth. You made springs gush forth in the valleys. They flow in between the hills. They give drink to all the beasts of the field. All the wild asses quench their thirst. On their banks dwell the birds of heaven. From the branches they sing their song. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Glory to you, to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Again, we're going to repeat our verse or antiphon. Now at the end of the psalm, Lord our God, in splendor and majesty you are clothed, wrapped in light as in a robe. Antiphon 2, the Lord has brought forth bread from the earth and wine to give warmth to men's hearts. From your dwelling, you water the hills. Earth drinks its fill of your gift. Same psalm, but part two. You make the grass grow for the cattle and plants to serve man's needs, that he may bring forth bread from the earth and wine to cheer man's heart, oil to make him glad and bread to strengthen man's heart. The trees of the Lord drink their fill. The cedars he planted on Lebanon. There the birds build their nests. On the treetop the stork has her home. The goats find a home on the mountains, and rabbits hide in the rocks. You made the moon to mark the months. The sun knows the time for its setting. When you spread the darkness, it is night, and all the beasts of the forest creep forth. The young lions roar for their prey and ask their food from God. At the rising of the sun they steal away and go to rest in their dens. Man goes forth to his work, to labor till evening falls. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. In honor of Mary's gifts from God the Son, her Savior and ours, pray in honor of Oscar's life, pray for his eternal repose of his soul, pray for all the people that we promised to pray for and for ourselves, to be saved and strengthened. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners. Spread the effective grace of thy flame of love over all of humanity, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. The Lord has brought forth bread from the earth and wine to give warmth to men's hearts. Antiphon 3. The Lord looked upon all he had made and saw that it was very good. How many are your works, O Lord? In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your riches. There is the sea vast and wide with its moving swarms past counting, living things great and small. The ships are moving there and the monsters you made to play with. All of these look to you to give them their food in due season. You give it, they gather it up. You open your hand, they have their fill. You hide your face, they are dismayed. You take back your spirit, they die, returning to the dust from which they came. You send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the earth. May the glory of the Lord last forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works. He looks on the earth and it trembles. The mountains send forth smoke at his touch. I will sing to the Lord all my life, make music to my God while I live. May my thoughts be pleasing to him. I find my joy in the Lord. Let sinners vanish from the earth and the wicked exist no more. Bless the Lord, my soul. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. In honor of Mary's gifts from the Holy Spirit, grant us a living stream of grace from the Holy Spirit. Bring consolation to the poor and needy, especially among our audience. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners. Spread the effective grace of thy flame of love over all of humanity, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. The Lord looked upon all he had made and saw that it was very good. The verse introducing the lesson from Scripture and tradition is, the voice of the Father was heard from the cloud. This is my beloved Son. Listen to him. And again, we reread the Exodus stories because this is a time, especially when we focus on our salvation, the Paschal death and resurrection of Christ, and how Christ is bringing us out of free slavery to sin in a new Exodus. So a reading from the book of Exodus, chapter 13, 17 through chapter 14, 9. The crossing of the Red Sea is the caption the church has chosen. When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them by way of the Philistines' land, though this was the nearest, for he thought, should the people see that they would have to fight? They might change their minds and return to Egypt. Instead, he rerouted them toward the Red Sea by way of the desert road. In battle array, the Israelites marched out of Egypt. Moses took Joseph's bones along, for Joseph had made the Israelites swear solemnly that when God should come to them, they would carry his bones away with them. Setting out from Succoth, they camped now near Etham, near the desert, the edge of the desert. The Lord preceded them in the daytime by means of a column of cloud to show them the way, and at night by means of a column of fire to give them light. Thus they could travel both day and night. Neither the column of cloud by day nor the column of fire by night ever left its place in front of the people. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Tell the Israelites to turn about and camp before Pi Hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea. You shall camp in front of Baal Zephon, just opposite by the sea. Pharaoh will then say, 'The Israelites are wandering about aimlessly in the land. The desert has closed in on them. Thus will I make Pharaoh so obstinate that he will pursue them. Thus I will receive glory through Pharaoh and all his army, and the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord.'" This the Israelites did. When it was reported to the king of Egypt that the people had fled, Pharaoh and his servants changed their minds and set about them. "What have we done?" they exclaimed. "Why, we have released Israel from our service." So Pharaoh made his chariots ready and mustered his soldiers, 600 first-class chariots, and all the other chariots of Egypt, with warriors on them all. So obstinate had the Lord made Pharaoh that he pursued the Egyptians even while they were marching away in triumph. The Egyptians then pursued them. Pharaoh's whole army, his horses, chariots, and charioteers caught up with them as they lay encamped by the sea at Pi Hahiroth, in front of Baal Zephon. Responsory prayer. When Israel came out of Egypt, the house of Jacob from a foreign land, Judah became God's sanctuary, Israel his domain. The Lord went before them in a pillar of cloud to show them the way. Judah became God's sanctuary, Israel his domain. So it's kind of interesting. This is kind of commentary on the transfiguration event from the mass readings that we're supposed to focus on today. And it's from a sermon by St. Leo the Great. So that will be our reading, witnessing to the tradition of preaching in the church. So, the Lord reveals his glory in the presence. This is St. Leo, Pope Leo the Great, from the 400s AD. The Lord reveals his glory in the presence of chosen witnesses. His body is like that of the rest of mankind, but he makes it shine with such splendor that his face becomes like the sun in glory, and his garments as white as snow. The great reason for this transfiguration was to remove the scandal of the cross from the hearts of his disciples, and to prevent the humiliation of his voluntary suffering from disturbing the faith of those who had witnessed the surpassing glory that lay concealed. With no less forethought, he was providing a firm foundation for the hope of Holy Church. The whole body of Christ was to understand the kind of transformation that it would receive as his gift. The members of that body were to look forward to a share in that glory which first blazed out in Christ their head. The Lord had himself spoken of this when he foretold the splendor of his coming. "Then will the just shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father." St. Paul the Apostle also bore witness to this same truth when he said, "I consider that the sufferings of the present time are not to be compared with the future glory that is to be revealed in us." In another place he said, "You are dead, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory." This marvel of the transfiguration contains another lesson for the apostles, to strengthen them and lead them into the fullness of knowledge. Moses and Elijah, the law and the prophets, appeared with the Lord in conversation with him. This was in order to fulfill exactly through the presence of these five men the text which says, "Before two or three witnesses, every word is ratified." What word could be more firmly established, more securely based, than the word that which is proclaimed by the trumpets of both Old and New Testaments, sounding in harmony by the utterances of ancient prophecy and the teaching of the gospel, in full agreement with each other? The writings of the two testaments support each other. The radiance of the transfiguration reveals clearly and unmistakably the one who had been promised by the signs foretelling him under the veil of mystery. As St. John says, "The law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." In him, the promise made through the shadows of prophecy stands revealed, along with the full meaning of the precepts of the law. He is the one who teaches the truth of prophecy through his presence and makes obedience to the commandments possible through grace. In the preaching of the Holy Gospel, all should receive a strengthening of their faith. No one should be ashamed of the cross of Christ, through which the world has been redeemed. No one should fear to suffer for the sake of justice. No one should lose confidence in the reward that has been promised. The way to rest is through toil. The way to life is through death. Christ has taken on himself the whole weakness of our lowly human nature. If then we are steadfast in our faith in him and in our love for him, we win the victory that he has won. We receive what he has promised. When it comes to obeying the commandments or enduring adversity, the words uttered by the Father should always echo in our ears. This is my Son, the Beloved, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Responsory prayer for that tradition reading. You have come to Jesus, mediator of the new covenant. Do not refuse to hear him. If those who refused to listen to him, warning them on earth did not escape punishment, much less shall we escape if we will not listen to one who warns from heaven. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. If those who refused to listen to him, warning them on earth did not escape punishment, much less shall we escape if we will not listen to one who warns from heaven. At this point, I'd just like to introduce, I know that's quite enough, Word of God and everything for most of us. So if you want to just go now, you can, but I'd like to pray with you for the partial or plenary indulgence for the Holy Father's monthly intentions, just briefly. So this is a really good intention for families in crisis. Let us pray that broken families might discover the cure for their wounds through forgiveness, rediscovering each other's gifts, even in their differences. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil and from the evil one. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners. Spread the effective grace of thy flame of love over all of humanity, and pray for us, Holy Mother of God, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Thank you for hearing our church's prayers and our prayers for these broken families, fathers and mothers. Amen. Now I'm going to continue on with morning prayer. If I have time, I might continue with morning prayer. Let me think about that. I just have a feeling that it will be more beneficial to read us passage from St. Paul's letter to the first letter to the Corinthians that we can do Lectio prayer with. And then don't forget, after this time, ask for a plenary indulgence, especially since this is Sunday, you're receiving Holy Communion. You really can get a plenary indulgence, so try to be sorry for your sins and offer this plenary indulgence, probably for a soul in purgatory, but also for yourself. It's beneficial because then the soul in purgatory will pray for you if you give them the blessing of the church's official prayer and such and so forth, by praying the prayers that we have for the indulgence, intentions and everything, and the blessing. So it's a sacramental, it's like a blessing, like when you have your house blessed, it's a sacramental, except a little bit different because it's part of the church's prayers. But anyway, here we go. Let's read from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. He's going to teach us about the wisdom of Christ. Consider your own calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many of you were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. Rather, God chose the foolish of the world to shame the wise, and God chose the weak of the world to shame the strong, and God chose the lowly and despised of the world, those who count for nothing, to reduce to nothing those who are something, so that no human being might boast before God. It is due to him that you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, as well as righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, so that as it is written, whoever boasts should boast in the Lord. When I came to you, brothers, proclaiming the mystery of God, I did not come with brilliance of words or of wisdom, for I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness and fear and much trembling, and my message and my proclamation were not with persuasive words of wisdom, but with a demonstration of spirit and power, so that your faith might rest not on human wisdom, but on the power of God. Yet we do speak of wisdom to those who are mature, not a wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are passing away. Rather, we speak God's wisdom, mysterious, hidden, which God predetermined before the ages for our glory, and which none of the rulers of this age knew. For if they had known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what eye has not seen and ear has not heard, and what has not entered the human heart, what God has prepared for those who love him. This God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit scrutinizes everything, even the depths of God. Among human beings, who knows what pertains to a person except the spirit of the person that is within? Similarly, no one knows what pertains to God except the Spirit of God. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit that is from God, that we may understand the things freely given us by God. And we speak about them not with words taught by human wisdom, but with words taught by the Spirit, describing spiritual realities in spiritual terms. Now the natural person does not accept what pertains to the Spirit of God, for to him it is foolishness, and he cannot understand it, because it is judged spiritually. The spiritual person, however, can judge everything, but is not subject to judgment by anyone. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to counsel him? But we have the mind of Christ. So yes, a kind of a long reading, but an important one. Important one because you won't be able to understand a lot of the things that are written unless you break it up into segments where he finishes his thoughts in Paul's letters. So I mentioned the words Lectio Divina. What is that? Well, it's the church's traditional method of listening to God and learning scripture in a personal way. What do I mean? I mean that God is expected to be a speaking God, a living God, a God who will be close to us, just like our reading says, he followed them in a pillar of cloud. He's someone who will be accompanying us throughout our lives. And one of the key ways that we learn from him is actually from the ancient scriptures, things revealed to others beforehand, but made present and active to us in a new way. So there's an idea that if we do the way the saints prayed, we pay close attention to the Word of God, we can ask God to speak to us personally through this. That's the main purpose. Like I said, there's also an educational purpose to this. People don't understand how much educational value you get from praying this way with Scripture, because you come to understand it through the first two steps of Lectio Divina, which are read multiple times, usually twice, and retell. Especially if you read it with a good Catholic commentary, like the Catholic Commentary on Sacred Scripture. Wow, you're just learning a tremendous amount as you go along. Especially if you have like I do, you read through 1 Corinthians, you pray through 1 Corinthians, or you pray through a gospel. You're just learning a tremendous amount. So I do recommend that. But anyway, the four steps, the saints have taught us to pray. They go by different names. Sometimes the first is always to read it once carefully and then to read it again. Some people read it once for your mind to understand what it's saying, and then read it again for your heart. That's another form of Lectio Divina. And then, I just read it out loud once to myself. That's what I was taught in catechist school. And then go back and read it silently or even out loud again. And you notice something new or something that you missed a lot of times the second time. So it helps you understand it better. Also, sometimes you're like, wow, now I'm thinking about it the second time. So there's a real process of coming to understand it for me on the first two readings. And then you have the moment where you get to kind of explain what happened to God, or you just five or six sentences, what happened? Paul speaks to us about true wisdom. He says that eye has not seen, ear has not heard, what God has prepared for those who love him in the future. But he talks about things that God reveals through the Spirit. So that's kind of things you might write down. I have a question. What is it that God has revealed through the Spirit? that's kind of how studying with this process in the first two steps works. He says that not many of us were lucky in the ways of the world. Let's put it that way. So that's like the retell step when you do that in five or six sentences. And then you have respond. Then this is the part where, again, I said that God's word revealed to former generations also could come alive. So this is the part where you basically, you converse with God or you ask God to make it come alive. So sometimes something's really on your heart, on your life, from your life experiences. And this is your moment, your privileged moment to speak to God like your father and to explain ever so briefly, even if you only have 1 minute. Like I said, this doesn't take 20 minutes. It can happen in 7 minutes if you want, or 5 minutes. You can make it these steps shorter than I do. But you, that's the step where you respond to what you think God is saying to you, or you respond to what you think the scripture is about, and think maybe put some of your life experiences that you want to ask God in there, or something, you know, something responsive, like I said, where it becomes relevant to your life. You can do adoration of God. You can praise God for being a good God who forgives our sins. You can do thanksgiving. You can say, thank you, God, for selecting me to be among those lowly and poor people whom you work through, whom you grant your salvation through, whom you will give the kingdom through, you know, things like that. You know, sometimes it's much more powerful. One person, you know, talked about certain experiences she had repenting from a life of prostitution and criminality, you know. And it was like she was in the Bible and she was Jezebel, you know. So sometimes responses like that to scripture, very personal. Sometimes they're very powerful. I don't know. Sometimes they're very mundane. You're not going to get something great every single time. But you can always invite God into your day and have the Word of God come alive in some sense. And if you're struggling, just ask the Holy Spirit to grant you the grace to have it come alive, or to have the Holy Spirit teach you to pray like a saint or like a holy person. So then rest. That's the last part. Sometimes you get something really encouraging, like a word of consolation or encouragement during this time of, you know, 5 minute prayer, 10 minute prayer, 20 minute prayer. And you also finish by thanking God, resting in God. And if you do it in a group, you also finish with an Our Father or something like that, or just the sign of the cross. So that's a method of doing Lectio Divina that I found personally helpful. That's kind of, like I said, there's two different benefits. One is you can learn scripture really, really good and go very deep, not just know it on a surface level, but go deep into it. So there's an educational benefit to doing this. There's also, most of all, a spiritual benefit, because like I said, when the Word of God comes alive, it's like God our Father wants to be involved, walking with us throughout our daily lives, giving us spiritual direction from the Holy Spirit, giving us consolation, encouragement, correction. So that's why this is something Benedict XVI said would just revolutionize the Catholic Church. If people could really, really learn to give themselves this form of prayer, it would change the entire church. So Pope Benedict XVI, the late Pope Benedict. So I hope you enjoyed this lesson on Lectio Divina, and also let's make the sign of the cross. I offer my plenary indulgence or equivalent graces for the soul that our Lord has chosen to bless. And may the soul be released and helped from the purification process now, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you for coming to this beautiful time of praying with Scripture and the Divine Office.